Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. We're continuing our look at the parables that Jesus told concerning the kingdom of God. And I know we had about 2 or 3 weeks there where we kind of were away from that. Let me remind you, in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, we are told that between his resurrection and his ascension, Jesus appeared to them over the course of 40 days, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Now, there's one thing I want to reemphasize, and I want to add to it. The kingdom of God is about the reign and the rule of Christ in your life and my life. But the kingdom of God is also about what you and I do in obedience to his word to help build that kingdom. Well, that got a nice, silent, total non-response. Maybe you didn't hear me. I said the kingdom of God is not just about saying that he is the king and lord of your life. It is about you being obedient to fulfill what his word declares we should do as part of his kingdom. Amen. A kingdom is not about a king in a castle. If you've got a king sitting in a castle, but he has no one living in his kingdom, does he have a kingdom? If no one in the kingdom is doing their part to build the kingdom, do they have a kingdom? No. Can I tell you that one of the things that God wants to transform and change in this local body right now is there are more of you that need to be doing things to help build the kingdom, and you need to stop saying no to the Lord or making up excuses why you cannot. Let the crickets begin chirping on that one. Well, this one is a very interesting parable. It's very short. It is oftentimes teamed up with the parable of the mustard seed that we looked at a few weeks ago, because both of them talk about how something very tiny can result in something very large. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, it says, he told them still another parable. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. If you have an older translation, it's leaven. It's the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Now, what's really interesting to me about this short little parable is as I began to study it and go through commentaries and things that Bible teachers and theologians say, there's actually two interpretations of this parable. One is what I call the negative, and the other is what I call the positive. I'm going to share with you in a moment the negative just briefly, because in all honesty, I think the positive has more for us today than the negative, although both are true. Now, how many of you have looked at that sermon title, Go Yeast, Child, Go Yeast, and thought Pastor flipped his lid? Well, in Horace Greeley, a newspaper editor in the 19th century, was credited. Now, it's not for certain if he was the first one. He is credited with a saying, and let me give you a quick little background. At this point in history, when Horace Greeley was this newspaper editor, the United States of America had realized that they did not need to be hemmed in by the Atlantic Ocean on the east and the Appalachian Mountains on the west. They realized there was this whole vast continent that Lewis and Clark and others had explored, and they began to realize that it was their God-given destiny to expand this nation and not have any other foreign power hemming them in, and they called that their manifest destiny. Can I just tell you right now, friend, that if you haven't realized it, we have a manifest destiny from God, and it's not just to get to heaven and escape hell. It is to be a part of building his kingdom here on earth. Amen? Amen? But I will tell you, you cannot build his kingdom here on earth if you're still trying to do it your way. Amen. Most of you are aware that old radio shows and old movies are my hobby. I love the singers of the 40s and the 50s. In my opinion, there is not a female singer out there that can touch Doris Day in her prime. Some come close. One of the great male, there were several great male vocalists from that time period. And one of them was a man known as Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra. And one of his biggest songs that he was most associated with was, "I Did It My Way." I read where he actually said he grew to hate that song because it was requested so much. He actually hated that song, but he kept singing it. What a great hit. "I Did It My Way." But what a lousy way to be a member and a citizen of the kingdom of God, because it's not our way, it's His way. Amen. Horace Greeley, as Manifest Destiny became the talk of the nation, and the United States began to figure out ways to push westward and grow from Atlantic Ocean to Pacific Ocean, Horace Greeley is credited with the saying, "Go west, young man, go west." So today, as we look at this particular parable, I say to you as a child of God, go yeast, child, go yeast. You'll find out why in a moment. First of all, let's look at what yeast really is. Now, some of you may know this. I didn't. You know what? If you'd have walked up to me 3 weeks ago, Charlie, and said, "What exactly is yeast?" I would have said, "Well, it's this powder stuff that's in the refrigerator on the top bin that my wife puts in with her dough when she makes bread in the bread maker, and it causes the dough to rise." But if you'd have said, "Where do we get it?" I would have had to have said, "You know, I don't know. It's some kind of plant, I guess." So I learned something, Connie. Yeast is not a plant. It is a microscopic fungus consisting of single oval cells that reproduce by budding and are capable of converting sugar into either alcohol or carbon dioxide. It's a little tiny animal. It's a fungus. It's a single-celled fungus that's kind of in between that plant life, animal life stuff. It has exhibits kind of part of both. Isn't it cool how we want to divide everything is plants or animals, and yet God has created some things out there that it's kind of like it's both but neither one at the same time? And that's what yeast is. I had no idea. Doug, I'd have been lost. My wife would have said, "The stores are out of it. Go find some yeast." I'd have been looking for a yeast plant. According to my great-granddad Green, it was a successful day when I looked up this definition because I learned something new. Let me give you the negative interpretation very quickly, very briefly. There are no slides for it. There are some that read this parable of the woman who takes the dough, has a large amount of dough, and places a small amount of yeast into it and works it in, and eventually it affects the whole lump of dough. The negative interpretation says that the lump of dough is the kingdom of God and that the yeast is the evil influences of this world. Because almost everywhere else you read in the New Testament and Old Testament, yeast is a symbol of evil and wickedness. When the Hebrews were going to prepare the Passover meal as the death angel passed over, what was one of the major requirements? And even today, Jewish families who celebrate Passover, if they're truly celebrating it right, what is one thing they do? They what? They have unleavened bread, but there's one other step before that. They have to clear all the yeast out of their home. You go back and read what Moses told them to do before the death angel passed over. It was not just to fix unleavened bread or bread without yeast. They had to clean all the yeast out of their house and get rid of it. Was it 8 days? Yeah. Can't have any yeast in there. And even Jesus said something to his disciples to the effect of, "Do not let the yeast of the Pharisees corrupt you." So most people, I shouldn't say most, the two interpretations are divided about 50-50. Some interpret this and say, this lump of dough represents the kingdom of God, and the yeast represents how evil will even impregnate or c- come be put into the kingdom of God, and it will cause problems. Now, some even go so far as trying to find special meaning in the fact that it was a woman who put it there. Jesus simply told a story because back then, men would not have been making the bread, women would have. Okay? And while that interpretation is accurate, let's be honest about it. Not everybody, Jesus himself said, not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is really doing my will. Can I put a modern twist on that? Not everybody who shows up for every church, is faithful to every church service, is doing what the Lord's told them to do. Now, that doesn't mean that church attendance is not important, but you got to make sure you're here for the right reasons. So that's kind of the negative interpretation. The dough is the kingdom. The yeast is the wickedness that the devil tries to work throughout, and it affects the whole lump. Something that I did find interesting. How many of you ladies bake bread and you use yeast? Okay. How much yeast does it take to make a loaf of bread? Now, see, my wife has the jar, so she's got to measure it out, but it's not much. What happens if you put too much yeast? How many remember the I Love Lucy episode where Lucy and Ethel were going to make it, and Lucy had her grandmother or great-grandmother's recipe, and I don't remember now, but she thought that she misinterpreted how much yeast it was, and every time she'd go back in the kitchen, that thing of dough had risen till it got so big, and then she made the loaf of bread that came out of the oven and pinned her against the wall. We know that can't really happen that way, but it was a funny episode. But it is a good reminder of the fact that yeast, a very little amount of yeast, affects a lot of dough. That's that. Yeah, is it one little package to six cups of flour? Two packages to six, one to three. Okay. I never know. My wife puts the stuff in her bread maker. She knows, and she's done it the other way, and I let her do it, and I enjoy the end result. Hot, fresh bread with butter on it. Yes. That is the negative interpretation, and it is accurate. But there is another interpretation that I came across that I like better because it brings into focus the positive side of this. Because yeast is not always presented as a representation of wickedness or evil in the Bible. As a matter of fact, there was one or two of the sacrifices that the people were told to bring in the Old Testament that they were to include, and it specifically stated, bread made with yeast. Let me just toss this out there for some of you. There are many things in the Word of God that are presented symbolically, but do not get so caught up in that symbol meaning that one thing that you think it always means that one thing, because our God is a God of variety, and He does not use one symbol to always represent the same thing. One of the examples is Jesus Christ is known as the Lion of Judah. And yet we see in another place that Satan is said to represent himself as a roaring lion. So you can't go out and say, well, lions are wicked in the Bible. No, they're just a symbol. Don't overdo the symbology. Don't overdo the numerology. Don't overdo the types and shadows. Understand, they're there to help you learn, but focus on the reality more than you do the symbol or the shadow, okay? I toss that in for free, Charlie. I won't charge you extra for that one. Now let's begin to look at the positive side. I want you instead to look at this parable, and the dough represents the world. And the yeast represents the kingdom of God. But remember what I said at the beginning of this message, the kingdom of God is not just the reign and rule of Christ in your life. It is you and me going out into the world and being His hands extended. So how is it that the kingdom of God, and you're going to hear me interchanging some things this morning, using some terms interchangeably. The kingdom of God, your Christianity, and your walk for Christ, your life for Christ, I'm going to use them interchangeably. Those are what the yeast are going to represent this morning, and I want to show you how. Number one, the first thing we see is that the kingdom of God is really alive. Yeast is not just some powder that you throw in. Yeast is an organism that is alive. It is because of the life that is in it that it can do what it does to the dough and cause it to rise. Friend, yeast is alive. If God is working us into the dough, He wants us to be alive in Him. Friend, I want you to answer this question in your heart and mind today. Is your relationship with Jesus Christ really alive, or has it become dormant? Many of our churches are so empty anymore because a lot of people who started out walking fine with the Lord, being an active part of His kingdom, their relationship is no longer alive. It has become dormant. It is in a stupor. It is in a sleep. And they're wondering why they're not receiving the blessings from God they once did. It's because they have become inactive yeast in the dough of the world. For those watching online on Facebook, they're still awake. Trust me, they're just not responding. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I don't want you to answer me. Please, this is not between you and Pastor. This is between you and God. Is your walk really alive? Do you still have the joy of the Lord that's giving you strength? I'll tell you. When I start feeling run down and constantly tired and constantly weary, not just physically, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally, I'll tell you where the problem lies. The problem lies in the fact that I've let the joy of the Lord leak out and my walk with Him has become dormant. It's not really alive. And it's time that we rise up and recognize that if we're going to be a part of His kingdom is alive. It's on the move. The victory is secure. The victory is promised. And in the last days of all things, Jesus Christ and His kingdom will reign supreme. I want to be a part of that. But for that to happen, I've got to make sure that I'm a living part of His kingdom. Amen? The second way that we can see the kingdom of God as it relates to this thing called yeast is the kingdom of God is at work. Now, I don't know if yeast can go bad. My wife has a jar of yeast in the refrigerator, and I looked at it this morning, and I was going to bring it, but it said specifically on there, after opening, refrigerate or freeze. So I didn't want to let it sit out for a while. But here's the crazy thing. It has a date on it. It says best if used by, and that date's like 2 years ago, but my wife still uses it. It seems to be fine. Can I tell you, if she ever goes to make a loaf of bread anytime soon, and she puts that yeast in there, and that dough doesn't rise, we're going to know that yeast is no longer working. To be part of God's kingdom does not mean that you sit and soak or that you sit on the pew and do nothing. To be a part of the kingdom of God means you have a job to accomplish. Now, not all of us have the same job. Try as I might, I have not been able to get Ron to come up there and play the guitar with me. I don't know, some silly excuse about he doesn't know how. I don't know. Not all of you are called to teach or preach. As a matter of fact, Paul gives us a warning on that. Paul says not many of you should even desire to be a teacher of the Word of God, because when you teach, there's a greater responsibility placed upon you. So the next time you're sitting there in the chair and you think, I could do a better job than Pastor's doing, well, come talk to me and we'll see. But I tell you what, when you start to stand in front of the people, you better be called. Amen? Amen? You better be called. Amen. The kingdom of God is at work. We talked about this, it was talked about in Sunday school this morning, about priorities. Oh, our greatest priority is not our job. It's not even our families. It's not our children. Our greatest priority is to fulfill our task for the kingdom of God. Amen? So that's another way that the kingdom of God is like yeast. Here's the next one. The kingdom of God is placed where it is best suited to work. Now, I don't bake. My wife does the baking. I cook. Rachel, you've had my taco soup, right? It's not bad. What would happen if I put yeast in soup? You wouldn't eat it? Why not? That would be horrible, wouldn't it? Because yeast is not made to work in soup. Yeast is made to work in dough. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. If you are living yeast in the kingdom of God, and you know that you have not been disobedient to him or stepped out of his will, wherever he has placed you is where you're going to be best suited to work for the kingdom. Do I need to repeat that? If you are confident that you are walking in God's will, then you need to understand where you are is where you are best suited to work for the kingdom of God. I'll be honest with you. We've been here now over 14 years, and I'll be honest with you, several years ago, I began to question, Lord, why am I in Clayton? Why am I still here? And I began to realize, the Lord began to bring people into my life that spoke to me, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I've got you where you're best suited to work, because this is where your skill set, if you will, and some people don't like that term, but this is where your skill set is needed. I've put you where I need you to be most effective for the kingdom. So if I make my taco soup with yeast next time, you're not going to eat it? No? Georgia, no? Some of you, listen to me. Some of you are trying to be like yeast in taco soup, and that's not where God's putting you. God has put you where you are best suited to work and help build his kingdom. When it's time to be put somewhere else, make sure God is moving you. Okay? I part of a pastor's group on Facebook, and one of the pastors put up this week, he said, I had have a member that wants to come talk to me. He says, this member is always negative. And he says, they wanted to talk to him like Friday night or Saturday morning, something like right before Sunday, Treva, you know how that goes. And he said, I don't know if I want to meet with them or not. He was getting lots of advice from a lot of people. Finally, he posted the day, he says, I had that meeting. And that person says, I think it's time for me to go somewhere else. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I hear that occasionally. Pastor, I think it's time for me to go to another church. You know what? If God's really telling you to do that, be obedient. But if you got your feelings out on a limb because of what somebody said or what somebody did, or you don't like the sermon, or you don't like the praise and worship, or you think the preacher's kid is too loud, or you don't like what the teacher said, you know what? It is a dangerous thing to put yourself where God has not placed you. Amen. It's like yeast in taco soup. It's just not going to work. Amen? Here's the next thing we've got. The kingdom of God's most powerful working is often unseen. When you put that little bit of yeast into that large quantity of dough that you're mixing together, can you see the yeast after a while? No. It gets absorbed. I mean, Treva, if I brought you a lump of dough I just mixed up with yeast and asked you to take tweezers and pull out some of the yeast, could you do it? No. It's all mixed in. You don't see the yeast working, but you see the results of it. Can I tell you, God does not need superstars? God does not need people who want the spotlight in his kingdom. He needs people that are willing to work behind the scenes and without recognition. Amen. I don't want to offend any of the ladies, but I've always said that probably the one that will get the greatest reward in heaven is going to be some little old grandma that sat in her living room in her rocking chair and simply prayed for people by the hour. She's going to move ahead of the line and go right on past people like Peter and Paul and James and John and Elijah and Moses and David. And everyone's going to go, wow, we never knew. And the Lord's going to smile and say, exactly. The most powerful working done in the kingdom of God is often unseen. Some of us sit there and in obscurity and we think we're not contributing anything. We don't think we're doing much. But oftentimes the truth is the Lord is working through what you're doing because of your obedience. And one of these days you're going to stand there in heaven and you're going to have people walking over to you saying, thank you. And you're going to scratch your head and say, do I know you? And they're going to say, well, you may not remember it, but there was a time when you smiled and said, God bless you. There was a time when you said a little prayer for me in the store. There was a time when you said, there was a time when you did. There was a time when you gave. And to you, it was a minor nothing. Oh, but to that person, it changed their world. It was a kingdom moment that you didn't even recognize, but he was in control, and that little bit of yeast was right where it needed to be in that lump of dough, doing its thing. Amen? Amen. And then, the kingdom of God is advancing and will be victorious. Oh, doesn't that loaf of bread look good? I wish I had a loaf of it here right now. I could warm and slice it up and some butter. Pass it around. I know. Hey, it's not even noontime yet. Your pastor's on a good schedule here, so you'll get out in time. I played that song before service this morning by the Wills family called the Luby song. It says, preach a little faster, pastor. I got to get the Lubies on time. Okay, I'll get you out of here in plenty of time to get to your lunch. No matter where you're at right now, no matter how difficult your part of the dough lump is right now, understand the kingdom of God is always advancing and it will be victorious. Amen. Amen? Amen? And you can't rush it. I don't know of any way to make yeast work faster. Now, you know, when I was a kid, this is what I didn't understand. Mom would go to fix a cake or a pan of brownies. And I don't know, what's the average temperature for a pan of brownies? Ladies, help me out. What? 350 for 30 minutes? Okay, we'll say 30 minutes. Now, Patricia, when I was a kid, I didn't understand why Mama didn't just turn that oven up to 700 degrees and get them done in 15 minutes, because that made sense to me mathematically. Now I know it doesn't work that way. Can I tell you, some of you, you're part of the yeast that God is working into this lump of the world. And the problem is, you've got a specific timing that he wants you to work in, and you can't rush him. You can't rush the process. I've tried. Ron, I tell you, there's been times I've tried to charge ahead, and I'll tell you what, it doesn't work. When my boys were little, and I think Michael was worse than Christopher about this, we'd be at the mall. And Michael's worse. You did it some, but your brothers were. Well, we'd be at the mall, and he'd let go of Daddy's hand. Okay, you walk beside me. I will, Daddy, I will. And next thing I know, boy, he'd be way out there in front. And I'd stop my wife. We'd just stop. And all of a sudden, he'd stop and look around. All of a sudden, he realized that Daddy's presence wasn't by him, and he was alone. Now, but 5, 10 feet ahead. Some of you right now, you're going through a situation where you kind of feel alone. Maybe you're trying to rush the process. The yeast has to work in its own time. I know when my wife decides to do the dough and make her dinner rolls, she mixes the dough in the bread maker and takes it out, and then it's in a bowl, and she does something to it, and she puts a towel and sets it and puts on the timer and comes back and then works it. And there's all this process. And I'm just sitting here, you know, Christian and I are just sitting here salivating, going, would you just hurry up and get them made? You know what? So many times that's how we are with the things of the kingdom of God. Lord, would you just hurry up and bring the result? And he says, you need to slow down. You're yeast in the dough and you've got to work within my timing. Amen? So my admonition to you this morning, go yeast, child, go yeast. Don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to determine where you fit into the kingdom of God. Be like the yeast. Let God put you where you're needed. Let Him determine how fast you work it. You work. And understand that you're always going to feel overwhelmed because the dough is always larger size than the yeast. But His parable in Matthew 13:33 says, the woman worked it in and it began to work on the entire lump of dough. Now here's the cool thing. When you go to mix up the dough, do you take one little granule of yeast and put it in? No. It takes a whole bunch, and those granules are small. It takes a whole lot of them. Well, guess what? You're not alone. We're all in this together. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to knead us, K-N-E-A-D, to knead us into the dough of the world in which we live, we will have an impact on all of it. Not everyone out there is going to accept, but we will make an impact, at least to the point that when they stand before Jesus Christ as their judge one day, they will not be able to honestly look at Him and say, I didn't know. Go yeast, child. Go yeast. I want you to stand with me. I want to pray with you this morning. Now, how many of you know I hadn't totally flipped my lid and the sermon title makes a little bit of sense? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for even short little one-verse parables that just show us that You're in control and that You have got something great in store for us. Thank You for reminding us that though we may seem small and insignificant, we can affect the world around us, not because of who we are and what we have done, but because of who You are and what You are doing in and through us. So Lord God, I ask today, as we prepare to leave this building, to enter this world of dough around us, Lord, help us to be the influencers in that world that yeast is to a lump of dough. May we impact people's lives, even if we don't realize it. May we rest assured that Your mighty hand is at work. And we'll give You praise and glory and honor for it in Your wonderful name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Go be yeast.